You're listening to Action Magazine, the podcast, the weekly download on what's shaping in the future of film, festivals, and the creative voices behind entertainment. I'm your host, Victoria, filmmaker, documentarist, and editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. From solo insights to on-the-ground festival coverage and stories from across the creative world, this podcast keeps you in action. Welcome to episode 8 of Action Magazine, the podcast. In today's episode, we're going to have a conversation with the cast and crew of the new episodic series that premiered at Tribeca, Mother May I Have a Kidney. Let's get into it.
Hi, how are you? I think you're muted.
Oops, sorry. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Excuse the hair. I had to tape a commercial really fast that my commercial agent just sent. And I was like, okay, we're just showing up like this.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, of course.
I think we're waiting on two more. So we'll see.
One more, Paul.
One more, Paul. Okay, perfect.
But we don't have very good time. No.
Yeah, the team just decided that it should just be the three of us because I think it's a shortened segment. So
that's perfect. That's awesome. Let's just wait for
it's
him.
It's been really good. Okay.
That's awesome.
It's been really good. We just, I connected with some people from another huge, I won't name it, but a huge festival. Who, you know, we'll see. We'll see if we get another premiere.
That's great. I think Paul just joined.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
So let's get started. I know you guys are busy. I don't want to take too much of your time. First of all, thank you so much for being here today with me. My name is Victoria. I'm the editor-in-chief of Action Magazine, and our magazine's goal is to give voice to emerging filmmakers. So everything we do, we try to inspire, inform people that are starting out, that don't have a voice, and all those things. So thank you so much for being here. Your show is very important to bring that new voice and talk about such beautiful work that, you know, inspire others and are successful in festivals. So congratulations on the Tribeca premiere. That was wonderful. And I'm going to start with Veronica. I have a few questions for you. First of all, can you give me a brief introduction of the show and tell me what inspired you to create it?
So it's Mother May I Have a Kidney. It's a drama comedy that's 6 episodes, 15 minutes each, and we've shot the entire season. What premiered at Tribeca was episode 1 and 2. And I was brought on by Doug Plout, who is of Doug's life as well as pieces of my life. So the show is about a guy who needs a kidney, and the only match is his estranged mother, who he hasn't spoken to in 10 years. So Doug has shared this and can speak on it more, but he shared the detail that he's estranged from his mother. And at the same time that I was writing this, my father was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and he's fine now. I mean, he's still dealing with it, but it's 2.5 years later and he's still surviving, which is great. But so I just thought it would be interesting to see two characters who are estranged have to come together for a medical emergency. And what would it look like to have to get the kidney? And also consider reconciliation, and also then how to make that humorous in some way.
So definitely. And what do you hope people will take away from the show?
Oh, so many things, but I could give you my laundry list. My first thing is, first and foremost, anything that I create, and I have a lot of scripts and projects I've developed, but I just always hope that people are entertained. I want people to want to watch more, fall in love with the characters. That's always my first priority, is that this is entertainment and that they want to keep watching. Secondly, I think it's really interesting to explore forgiveness and the concept of what does it look like to bridge a gap and have to come together. A friend of mine, I've read like 4 books on forgiveness now. And a friend of mine was saying, forgiveness doesn't mean friendship. And I just thought that was such a wild concept. I just hadn't really thought that through. But sometimes forgiveness is just the idea of settling something within yourself to say, I forgive this person and I release them from, you know, any anger or bitterness. So that's interesting. And I think I would love it if people would contemplate maybe in their own lives, like where do they have relationships that still need bridging or that need some mending. And then the last thing that I would say is, I mean, the National Kidney Foundation endorsed our project, which was a huge deal. I feel like they're the largest kidney organization, I think, in the world. I know definitely in North America. And the fact that they could see that the humor we brought to the subject, it's a very serious subject. And the fact that they could see the humor that we brought to the subject is really exciting for me. And they've sent out a quote from their CEO of marketing endorsing our project. And I hope that people will consider looking at what organ donation could be, or registering as an organ donor and possibly getting on lists to help other people survive. I myself have had an aunt and a cousin pass away while they were on dialysis from not having a kidney.
Yeah, wow, that's all amazing. And I'm sure that people will take away all of those messages from the show. It's a beautiful story, and it's also comedic, and it has this drama and iconic characters. So I think the recipe is there to create a successful show. You guys did a great job. I want to move over to Paul. And the question I have for you, you're the director of the show, but you also have a lot of experience as a casting director. So I want to ask, how did the casting process help bring these memorable characters to life? Because that's very important for a show, is for us to connect with a character and to relate to them. So how was that process for you?
Well, I think, you know, it is the hat I wear most of the time as a in my professional life. And I did have, we did have, Rachel Goldman, who works with me as a casting associate a lot and is also doing some of her own gigs. We hired her to cast this, and I stayed out of it in the sense that I didn't, you know, micromanage that and trusted Rachel to bring, you know, there's a lot of people who auditioned that we already knew. Excuse me. And, you know, Doug was already in the show, so we had to sort of cast around him, and I wanted to make sure that all the pieces fit together, but also get really obviously talented and funny and wonderful actors. And I guess one thing I was conscientious of that I tell directors a lot that I work with in casting is not to worry too much about the physical resemblance, because I feel like if the actors are good enough, no one will question that they're a family. And so that was one thing I sort of chucked out the window right from the very beginning, just to make sure that, you know, they were all, you know, relatively, you know, believable, but to let the performances speak for themselves. And thankfully, at least I haven't heard it yet, no one has said, oh, well, Charlotte and Doug don't really look like siblings or whatever, because it's not, maybe you have, Doug.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I guess one of the things I also do in casting is that was interesting in doing this and directing something on film for the first time was, you know, I'm usually, as a casting director, one of the first people hired on crew and usually one of the first to leave, because I, in an ideal world on a film at least, and this was basically shot like a film, not an episodic series, I'm usually done before they start filming. So it was really fascinating and really, really educational for me to sit with it, you know, from the day I read it and we all worked together on the script for a few weeks till today, and really get to, you know, live with it for this long.
That's wonderful. And you just mentioned that you shot not as an episodic, but as a film. Can you go into a bit more detail into how that process works?
Right. Well, I guess what I mean to say is that it was written as six episodes, but we shot in what's called blocks or crossboarding, which is to say that everything across the six episodes that takes place in a hospital, for example, we shot all at once. So we really did it by location. And actually, now that I think about it, was another, you know, when you're shooting out of sequence anyway, you always have to keep in mind where you are in the story and remind the actors what's happened and what hasn't happened yet. Cause it can be, you know, there's so much going on. It's so busy. It's such a crazy pace. You can forget something that, you know, that the audience can't know on a day that you're filming.
Exactly. That's wonderful. I want to move over to Doug. I've been dying to ask you questions. Your character is just so bright that I really wanted to know How did you connect with the story? Can you talk a bit about your connection, your process to get into character and all that?
Sure. May I just jump back to something that you
mentioned? Yes, please. Please.
I think one of the things that I think is really wonderful that I have sort of heard is that Charlotte Rae Rosenberg, who plays my sister, and Tina Benko, who plays my mother, and myself, that we all do sort of look biologically plausible.
Good.
And I think that's really sort of a wonderful thing too. But in terms of how I connected to the character, well, I think what's sort of interesting is that in my own like professional life, I'm asked to do a lot of things that are pretty, when they ask, it's usually things that are pretty zany and, you know, out there. And I think that I wanted to do something that was more grounded. And that was certainly something that Veronica and later Paul and I talked about. So I think what Veronica sort of presented was sort of an opportunity to do something that really just sort of allowed me to play, frankly, more of a normal person, even more normal than I, not terribly normal in my daily life, but even more normal than I, Doug Plout, am as a person. So yeah, that was really special. I was grateful for that.
What was your favorite moment of the show to act, or a favorite scene that you have that was very memorable or touching or special to you?
Oh, well, so many. There are so many, but I can off the top of my head think of two. So there's an actress in the show named Myra Lucretia Taylor, who plays Sharon, Doug's therapist. And I have known her since 2003. I saw a show that she was in, Nine, which is the poster that I have right over there. And I saw that 10 times. And then I would say about 12 years ago, I started seeing her a lot in audition rooms. I would be there for like, you know, the nerdy high school student, and she would be there for like the school nurse or something. And so I sort of connected with her a lot those times. And then I got to know her a little bit over the years. So when I remember the day when Paul said, well, why don't we just ask my, I had screamed her name and Paul said, well, why don't we just ask Myra dear? And I was like, yay. So that was very special, the time she was there. And I think, you know, getting to play, speaking to what Veronica mentioned earlier, about when your own family relationships are sort of rocky, getting to sort of play family scenes, especially with actors who are as wonderful as Charlotte and Tina Benko, I could talk about her for days. I think that it sort of feels like you're almost cosplaying your own life a little bit. And it affects you, there's something really beautiful about that, where you sort of feel like you have opportunities to sort of approach things in different ways and your own life in different ways, you know?
Exactly. Can you talk a little bit about the premiere at Tribeca and how was that whole experience for you?
Oh, it was thrilling. Well, I mean, first, I think we have to mention that, you know, the shows that we premiered with were really outstanding. Joanna Leeds and her brother Andrew created a show called Bulldozer, and Jeremy Byler's show Earth to Percy, and Mandy Patinkin and Catherine Grody and their son's name, who I'm forgetting, but he created it, and that's called Seasons. And I think premiering with shows that, frankly, were that excellent sort of, in my mind, elevated our whole ethos of what we were doing. And to connect with such wonderful people. And I got to spend some time with Joanna, who created Bulldozer, this past week. And that was just wonderful. And so I think that to me was the most exciting part of it. But you should ask them too.
Yes, please. But for you guys, how was the Tribeca experience of having the show premiering there?
I mean, it was a thrill. You know, to go back to my day job, I go to, you know, not as often anymore, but a decent number of film festivals for films that my business partner and I cast that end up in Sundance or Toronto. And it was really kind of strange to be the director of something that was there. And as Doug alluded to, you know, it's interesting and fun and probably good for everybody's psyche to get out of your, like, you know, tunnel vision of your own project and see what other things people are doing on, you know, super small budgets. And it was just kind of amazing to see the quality of work. And it was also thrilling because, you know, to be 100% honest, you know, some of those other shows have some, you know, famous people in them and we don't. And that felt nice to be, you know, just because I deal with this as the casting director a lot. People always want movie stars and things. And, you know, I'm always this old fashioned person of cast the best actor. So it was really wonderful to have something that, you know, you had to believe that it was there on quality first and foremost, and not necessarily because of star power. Not that those other shows aren't really good, because they are, but they have the added, you know, flash, I suppose, or jazz hands of some famous people. So that was really cool.
Yeah, I would just echo that. I mean, it was incredibly thrilling. I think I didn't anticipate, it's the only festival we've applied to so far. I didn't anticipate us getting in, but I've spoken with the programmers and they all said, you know, it's such an incredible show. It really stands on its own. So that was really great to hear. And then for me, it was meeting all the other filmmakers. There's so many. At one point I felt like, well, I told somebody that it's incredible how small New York feels when you're surrounded by, I actually had five or six friends that had projects in Tribeca this year as well. They made wow. short films, or they made features, or they were on the jury panel, or they were, you know, highlighted as a, one of my friends is a, is an influencer. And so all of them, it was kind of like a really cool reunion for all of these New York creators. And then the other part of it too, is just the encouragement. I think I didn't realize, I think I had maybe 20 to 30 people at each screening from different communities who, for various pockets of people, have offered different things. So whether it's different people saying, I can't wait to DP your next thing and I'll do it for free. These are the kinds of offers that I feel like filmmakers and writers really get excited about. Or it was other DPs or other, you know, people's crews from their respective shows premiering at Tribeca who connected and just said, I saw your thing, I love it, let's find a way to work together. So mm-hmm. I think there's such a community that's built. And I think that's actually, Jane Rosenthal has a quote somewhere saying that, you know, Tribeca is about gathering the filmmakers and making them, and then giving them like a group hug and creating this community. And that's exactly what it felt like. And then some, because we got great connections out of it. And I kind of teased this up when I joined. We also have made some connections to other film festivals who would like us to apply. And that's, I just think, you know, having all those connections and having those experiences are singular, and because of Tribeca.
Exactly. It's a dream for a lot of filmmakers to get their projects at Tribeca. As a filmmaker myself, I know that struggle that people have in the beginning. And it's such a passionate environment that you just meet everybody that understands you and understands the work that you do. And you could just talk to them and they listen, which is hard if you don't talk to a filmmaker, somebody that isn't from film. So it's just an amazing environment. And I could feel that while I was there this year as well. I don't want to take too much of your time, so I want to ask one last question for you guys. As I mentioned, my goal is to inspire new voices out there and encourage them to go forward and film. And it's such a hard industry sometimes. I want to ask what advice you would give to someone dealing with self-doubt, especially when working on an independent project or just starting out as a new voice. I know it's a hard question, but you guys got there. You guys went to a premiere in Tribeca, doing great. So what would you say to someone that is just starting out and is afraid and has self-doubt whether they should shoot their project or not?
I'll jump in with my answer. I feel like I have one right off the top. There's a couple things. It's because I've been asked this and I've had to really think about it, but there's a couple things. One of them being, just specifically as a creator or writer, I think a lot of times writers, when they're first starting out, will show their scripts to everybody and get feedback. And not, I just think one of the things that we need to do as a writer is protect what you've created. There are some weird, wacky scenes I created in this show. And I think if I brought it to a regular writing group, I would have gotten the feedback, that's not funny or that's too weird. And I think there's something about cultivating what makes you smile. You, as the writer, as the creator, what makes you smile? What makes you laugh? Because somebody else will register with that. I actually, there's this Paul Thomas Anderson scenario that's shared sometimes on all the film Instagram sites where they talk about how one of Paul Thomas Anderson's films really tanked at a screening But they had these feedback cards, and one of the feedback cards, all the feedback cards said terrible, didn't get it, not good. And there was one, it's one of his early films. One card was like a dissertation saying, I really love this character because, and I really loved how you did this. And he said, this is why we made the film. He's like, as long as it's for this one person. And I think oftentimes we try to play to a jury or try to play to a wide audience. Just start to make things that you really enjoy. And then the other part of it is, I think it takes, I'm not a runner anymore, but I used to run marathons. And I think it's a marathon race. You just have to keep staying in it and trusting. And then the last thing that I would say is make sure you have a great community around you. I think that was really pivotal for me, is having, you can always find critics. There's critics everywhere. But to have a community of people who love you, support you, encourage you, and also tell you the truth, you know, it's great. I have so many friends that would say, I really love this, this, and this about the project, and this thing I thought could have been better. And so it's great, because that helps you move on to the next thing with you know, a more directed position in making better projects.
Yeah, that's perfect. What about you, Paul?
I mean, I would echo that, particularly the part about playing to the jury. I think it's so easy, unfortunately, to second guess yourself and get caught up in working from the outside in, if that makes any sense, and trying to, and I see this a lot in casting where, you know, you have to wonder sometimes when producers or financiers are saying, well, we can make this movie if we get X or Y celebrity in it. I always wonder, okay, that's probably true, but then how much do you really believe in the material and the filmmaker and your team? And it's just it's really easy. You know, this is a very, very collaborative process always. And there will always be a lot of cooks. And so it's a balancing act of, you know, trusting your team and surrounding yourself with good people, as Veronica said, and also, you know, trusting yourself and not trying to, you know, pre-guess what the response is going to be. Because like with that Paul Thomas Anderson story, there's going to be, you know, ask 20 people, you're going to get 20 different answers. So it's easy enough to say. And I also think the other thing, just from a practical point of view, because I learned a lot from Ben Murray and Michael Christensen, our line producers and cinematographer and first editor, that it's okay to know what you don't know. You know, I've directed things in theater, but have never directed on set before. In fact, I always never go on set as a casting director. So you have to, you know, everyone's there for a reason and has their job, and trust them that they will help you and, you know, will help you learn as well.
Exactly. What about you?
I think for me, one of the things, and this is something that I tell myself in real life too, all the time, is that, you know, the world's been around for a long time. I think people have been making movies for, you know, 100 years and TV shows for 75 years. And I don't think there's ever a problem that you can encounter that someone hasn't encountered before. And I tell myself this all the time. So when I'm in doubt or scared or this or that, there's always like, well, someone's already gotten through this before. And so I guess why not, you know, me? So that, but I think that, you know, it's so easy to sort of, it's easy to find joy in community when you're doing it. I think, you know, people often give film and TV a bad rap, like vis-a-vis the theater. But I think one of the things that I've always loved, because I've been in several movies that are sort of the lower budget, you know, fracas. And I think that one of the things that's really nice about it is that everybody sort of knows everybody on those sets. There's not really the separation that you feel on a bigger set. So I think that, you know, you all sort of get to lean on each other, because once you know everybody's name, it's basically like summer camp. We just have to do something by the end of the day, you know? And I think that's part of the joy of this before too much sort of starts to pile onto it as things get bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's all wonderful advice. If you guys don't have anything else to add, I would love to wrap this so you guys can go on with your busy days and busy schedules. But thank you so, so much for being generous with your time. And I'm going to write a special article about the show because it deserves it. And I really hope you guys get a new premiere in this new festival that you said. Fingers crossed, and best of luck and success to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Victoria.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Action Magazine, the podcast. Keep creating, keep dreaming, and stay in action. Catch you next week.